Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our community worship service here. It's a pleasure to be with you. My name is Pastor Phil Horning. I'm pastor at Gehman Mennonite Church just outside Adamstown. We helped to organize this service along with Emmanuel EC Church right here in town. And we're especially blessed and looking forward to Piercing Word Ministries sharing with us today. We have a beautiful morning. The team from Piercing Word was excited that we're actually under a tent, and they said they sometimes do these community events and they're out under the sun and sweating and needing sunscreen. So we're grateful for a nice space to be here. We're thankful for all of you, and we gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to honor Him and to try to point our community towards the Lord. So I'd invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the beautiful morning and for the blessing of being able to come and gather and worship you. We pray for our country. We're grateful for people who seek to serve us and others. We pray on this Memorial Day weekend that we'd reflect on how we can serve you and serve one another. We pray that as a country that we would honor you. I thank you for the ministry of Piercing Word that is here with us today and for their heart's desire to encourage and to ignite people to value and know your word and to use it in their lives. I pray that you bless them as they share, bless their memory, bless their presentation. May it all be for your honor and glory. I thank you, Lord, for this community, for the people of this town and surrounding areas. Lord, I pray that each one of us would know you as Savior and Lord, and that we would be pointing our neighbors, our friends, those around us towards you and your ways. Please bless this service, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be singing two songs together. They're both in your bulletin. I'll invite the team to come up and lead us in that.
Resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient world You're next. Heather, you're visible when you stand there.
Hi.
I'd like to lift the offering at this time. We'd like to thank you for the offering last year. It was amounted to $2,092.80, and it was received for the Acts of Love, the Coquelico Area Summer Lunch Program, and the Backyard Kids Club. This year, we're going to lift the offering for Piercing Word and Acts of Love and Coquelico Area Summer Lunch Program. So would the ushers please come forward at this time for a word of prayer?
Yeah, get on the way.
Yeah.
Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as congregations this morning in this beautiful setting.
I will be moving.
Pray
now.
Your blessing on our service this morning. We pray your blessing on our community. Pray your blessing on the Piercing Word and their ministry. Pray, too, that they would be able to remember their parts and that you would bless it to our hearts. Pray that you bless the summer lunch program this coming summer and we could reach out to those in need this coming summer. Thank you for all your blessings. We want to bless you now by giving back to you what you have given to us. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And as the offering is being shared, received, just want to invite Jeff of Piercing Word. He'll tell us about their ministry and what they have to share with us. So thank you for coming.
Thank you so very much, Pastor. I appreciate it. Hi, my name is Jeff Mapson, and I'm one of the team members with Piercing Word. Let me first ask you, though. Any place that I go, I love to ask this question. Who has not seen Piercing Word before? Wow. So a lot of you have not seen us. Well, let me tell you a little bit about us. Our mission is to ignite passion for the Word of God in the heart of the church. And we really hope that we're going to do that today. We do that through a number of different ways. We do that through dramatic and through musical presentations of Scripture, word for word, from the English Standard Version of the Bible. So I also heard that there are two different churches that are here this morning. Is that correct? So who's from Game and Mennonite? Oh, excellent. And the other church's name. Emmanuel. Who's from Emmanuel? Oh, excellent. Okay, great. So I learned a psalm, and I just kind of spur of the moment, I felt like sharing it. And that's Psalm 133. I'm going to share it for you real quick. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. That's Psalm 133. Now, our mission, like I said, is to ignite passion for the Word of God in the heart of the church. But it's not just to put on a presentation that's going to be exciting for you to see the Word of God in a new light. But we want you to have a passion for the Word of God as well in your own life. And so we're going to encourage you to memorize Scripture yourself. Who has ever memorized a verse? Okay, good. If you know Jesus wept, you got a verse. So it's good. Who's memorized a whole chapter? Okay, great. Excellent. Who has memorized an entire book? Wonderful. Who has memorized the whole Testament? Okay, so we're getting there. We're getting there. No, that's excellent. I saw a lot of hands for all of those questions. So one of the things that we do and one of the things that we have for everybody at our table, we're going to have these memorization tip bookmarks. I'm really going to encourage you to go and grab one of these tip bookmarks before you head out. Because we want you to be able to memorize Scripture. And to memorize the whole chapter of Scripture is going to be the challenge that we're going to give you today. So with that, you'll be able to take this memorization tip bookmark and put it in the chapter that you're planning on memorizing. Now you might be like, I don't know exactly what chapter I want to memorize. Well, I'm going to make it really easy for you. Pick the psalm that corresponds with your age. So if you are 6 years old, Psalm 6. If you're 119 years old, Psalm 119. Most psalms are actually between 8 to 11 verses long, so they're not incredibly long. You'll be amazed. You'll be absolutely amazed, stunned and amazed to see how God transforms you from the inside out with memorizing His Word. So a number of different ways that you can do that is obviously repetition, but I never recommend doing this sitting down. Even less laying down. Laying down on your bed while reading and trying to memorize does not work. You have to read it out loud, repeat it out loud. Also, write it down. One of the things that I do when I'm trying to catch myself, check myself, whether or not I've done it well, I'll write the first letter of every word. Just to see, hey, did I make any errors? But you're never too young and you're never too old to memorize Scripture. We met a lady who's 96 years old while on tour in New England. She memorized all of Psalm 91. She's half blind and half deaf. Also, there's a 3-year-old on YouTube who's memorized all of Psalm 23. So you're never too young and you're never too old to memorize Scripture. So also, you can sing it to a familiar tune. One of the things that we've done with Piercing Word, it was said that we do musical presentations of Scripture. We actually recently took Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. That's Jesus' most famous sermon. Who's ever read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7? Beatitudes. Okay, great. We actually created composed original music for it. And so if you wanted to memorize Matthew 5, 6, or 7, you could actually do so to musical tunes, to songs. We actually have those available for donation at our table. So definitely there's a number of different tips, but make sure you grab a memorization tip bookmark. One of the things, though, that I really want to do is I want to introduce you guys to what it is we'll be performing for you today, and that is the entire book of Esther. Who's read the book of Esther before? Heard the story? Seen the story? Okay, great. Now, one of the things that's absolutely amazing to me about Esther is that this is a story really about a young girl who's without her parents, who is in a land that's foreign to her, that God's called her to a purpose. And his purpose supersedes any of her fears, any of the difficulties she may be going through, so that when she works and she's in alignment with God's will, amazing things happen and take place. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and get started, and please enjoy. Oh, feel free to laugh and to cry and to participate. If there's something funny, you can laugh. If there's something that's maybe not funny, that's kind of sad, you can say, oh, I mean, feel free to participate. This is Scripture, but it's fun. And so be prepared to enjoy the book of Esther. Now, in the days of Ahasuerus,
the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces.
In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Susa the citadel, he gave a feast for all his officials and servants.
The army of Persia and Media and the nobles and governors of the provinces were before him, while he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness for many days.
180 days. days. And when those days were completed, the king gave for all the people present in Susa the citadel, both great and small, a feast. For 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace.
There were white cotton curtains and violet hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rods and marble pillars, and also couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones.
Drinks were served.
In golden vessels.
Vessels of different kinds.
And the royal wine was lavished according to the bounty of the king.
And the drinking was according to this edict.
There is no compulsion.
For the king had given orders to all the staff at the palace to do as each man desired.
Queen Vashti also gave a feast for all the women in the palace belonging to King Ahasuerus.
On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry Ooh. With wine, he commanded... He commanded... Mecumen.
Bitsa.
Harbona.
Bigtha.
And Abagtha.
Zephar.
And Carcass.
The seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to show the peoples and the princes her beauty.
Oh, she was lovely to look at.
Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuchs.
At this, the king became enraged and his anger burned within him.
Then the king said to his wise men who knew the time.
For this was the king's procedure towards all who are versed in law and judgment.
The men next to him being Tarshina.
Shethar.
Atatha.
Tarshish.
Mary.
Marsena.
And Memucan.
The seven princes of Persia and Media who saw the king's face and sat first in the kingdom.
According to the law, what is to be done to Queen Vashti? Because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus delivered by the eunuchs.
Then Memucan said in the presence of the king and the officials.
Not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but against all the officials and all the people in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For once the queen's behavior has been made known, all women everywhere will look upon their husbands with contempt. Since they will say...
King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come.
Oh, this very day, the noble women of Media and Persia, who had heard of the queen's behavior, will say the same to all the king's officials, and there will be contempt and wrath in plenty. If it please the king, let a royal order be issued, and let it be written among the laws of the Medes and Persians that it might not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her position to another who is better than she. And when the king's order is made known to all the king's provinces, for it is vast, all women everywhere will honor their husbands, high and low alike.
This advice pleased the king and the princes, and the king did just as Memucan proposed.
He sent letters to all the royal provinces.
To every province in its own script.
And to every people in its own language.
That each man be master of his own household and speak according to the language of his people.
After these things, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had abated, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, what had been decreed against her. Then the king's young men who attended him said,
let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in Susa, the citadel.
Under custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch who had been charged with the women,
let their cosmetics be given them.
And let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti.
This pleased the king, and he did so.
Now, there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjaminite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem, among the captives carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away.
Bravo! Bravo!
He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother.
The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter.
Now when the king's issue was proclaimed throughout the city, and when 21 women were gathered in the custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women, Esther also was taken to the king's house and placed in the custody of Haggai.
And the young woman pleased him and won his favor.
And he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and her portion of food and with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace. And he advanced her and her young women to the best place in the harem.
Esther had not made known her people or kindred, for Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. And every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her.
Now, when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations of the women,
since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with spices and ointments for women.
Now, when the turn came in for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus, she was taken from the harem into the king's palace. In the evening, she would go in. And in the morning, she would return to the second harem under custody of Shajgaz, the king's eunuch who had been in charge of the concubine.
She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her, and she was summoned by name.
Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, to go into the king, she asked for nothing except for one.
Now Esther was the king's favorite in the eyes of all who saw her. The king loved Esther more than all the women. She won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set his royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
The king gave a great speech to all the women of Esther.
It was Esther's speech.
All the women and the
now, when the virgins were gathered together,
Esther had not made known her kindred or her people as Mordecai had commanded her.
Now in those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, he was a king. This king was correct. He tried to be special. He thought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Mordecai was a king. Then the king left and told the king to lay him over. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the name of those came to the gallows.
It was recorded in the Book of the Chronicles.
Then the king converted Haman, the Agagite, son of Hammedatha, and promoted him, and set his throne high above all the officials who were with him.
And all the king's servants were at the king's feet, bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king is still commanding his journey. Then the king's servant questioned the king and said to Mordecai,
"What is the name
of the king's servant?" And when he spoke to him day after day, and he would not listen,
Mordecai did not
have that word. But he disdained the leader for Mordecai alone. So as they had made known to him,
and to annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children. This takes place on one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and the final day.
The couriers went out hurriedly by order of the king. The decree was issued in Susa, the citadel.
And the king and Haman sat down to drink.
But the city of Susa was thrown into confusion!
Although it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.
Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him.
On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters, while the king sat on his royal throne inside the throne room opposite of the entrance to the palace.
And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtway,
she won favor in his sight, and he held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand.
And Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter.
And the king said to her,
"What is your wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be granted you, even to the half of my kingdom."
And Esther said,
"If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to the feast that I have prepared for the king."
And the king said,
"Bring Haman quickly so that we may do as Esther has asked."
So the king and Haman went in to the feast that Queen Esther had prepared. And as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king said to Queen Esther,
"What is your wish? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled."
And Esther said,
"My wish and my request is If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come to the feast that I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said.
Then Haman went out that day joyful and glad of heart.
But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, Haman was filled with wrath.
Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and sent and brought his friends and his wife there.
And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. And Haman said,
Even Queen Esther, let no one but me come to the feast to be prepared with the king. And again tomorrow I am invited together with the king. Yet all this means nothing to me, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate.
Then his wife Suresh and his friends said to him,
Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast.
This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made.
On that night, the king could not sleep. And he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king.
And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold, and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said,
Well, what honor or distinction has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?
And the king's young men who attended him said,
Nothing has been done for him.
And the king said,
Who is in the court?
Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's young men told him,
Haman is there standing in the court.
And the king said,
Let him come in.
So Haman came in. And the king said to him,
What should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?
And Haman said to himself,
Whom the king delights to honor more than me?
And Haman said to the king,
For the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought forth, one that the king has worn, and a horse that the king has ridden, and upon whose head a royal crown is set, and let the robes and the horse be handed to over the one of the king's most noble officials, and let them dress the man, and lead the man through the open square of the city, proclaiming before him, Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.
And the king said to Haman,
Hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Oh, leave out nothing that you have mentioned.
So Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him,
Let's now be done, man, and you like the honor.
Proclaiming.
Let's now be done, man, and you like the honor.
I'm sorry, I still can't hear him.
Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.
Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate.
But Haman hurried to his house mourning with his head covered, and he told his wife Suresh and his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife Suresh said to him,
If Mordecai, before whom you had begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you would not overcome him, but will surely fall before him.
While they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared.
Then the king and Haman went into the feast that Queen Esther had prepared, and on the second day, as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king again said to Queen Esther,
What is your wish, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom. It shall be fulfilled.
Then Queen Esther answered,
If I have found favor in your sight, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish, and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king.
Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther,
Who is he? And where is he? Who has dared to do this?
And Esther said,
A foe and enemy
this wicked Haman.
Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen.
Then the king arose in his wrath and went into the palace garden.
But Haman stayed and begged for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm was determined against him by the king.
Then the king returned from the palace garden to the place where they were drinking wine after the feast. As Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was, and the king said to
will he even assault the queen in my own presence, in my own house?
As the word left the king in the mouth, they covered Haman's face.
Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, said,
moreover, the gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing at Haman's house 50 cubits high.
And the king said,
hang him on that.
So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the wrath of the king abated.
And King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews.
And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her.
And the king took his signet ring from his hand, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. Then Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman.
Then Esther spoke again to the king. She fell at his feet and wept and pleaded with him to avert the evil plan of Haman the Agagite and the plot that he had devised against the Jews. When the king held out the golden scepter that was in his hand, Esther rose and she stood before the king and she said,
if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and if the thing seems right before the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let an order be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, in which he wrote in order to destroy the Jews in all of the king's province. For how can I bear to see the calamity that is coming to my people? And how can I bear to see the destruction of my kindred?
Then the king said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew,
behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. They have hanged him on the gallows because he intended to lay hands on the Jews. But you may write as you please with regard to the Jews in the name of the king and seal it with the king's ring. For an edict written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's ring cannot be revoked.
Scribes were summoned on that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day.
And an edict was written according to all that Mordecai commanded concerning the Jews.
To the satraps and the governors and the officials over all the provinces from India to Ethiopia.
127 provinces.
To each province in its own script. To each people in its own language. And also to the Jews in their script and their language.
You wrote it in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed it with the king's signet ring.
And the letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instructions to destroy, to kill and annihilate all the enemies of the Jews. And it was on swift horses that were used in the king's service and bred by the royal stud.
Saying that the king allowed the Jews who were in every city to gather and defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate any armed force or people that might attack them, children and women included, and to plunder their goods on one day throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus.
On the 13th day of the 12th month, the issue was to be ordered as a decree in every province, being publicly displayed for all peoples, and the Jews were to be ready on that day to take vengeance on their enemies.
And then the couriers mounted on the swift horses that were used in the king's service, and rode out hurriedly, urged by the king's command, and the decree was issued throughout Susa the citadel.
Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and white with a great golden crown and a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced.
The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor.
And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews.
A feast!
And a holiday!
And many peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for the fear of the Jews had fallen on them.
On the 13th day of the 12th month, when the king's order and decree were about to be carried out.
On the very day when the enemies of the Jews sought to gain mastery over them.
The reverse occurred. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated them.
The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. and no one could stand against them, for the fear of them had fallen on all peoples.
And all the officials of the provinces and the governors and the satraps and the royal agents also helped the Jews, for the fear of Mordecai had fallen on them.
For Mordecai was great in the king's house. His fame spread throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai grew more and more powerful.
And the Jews struck their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and did as they pleased to those who hated them.
In Susa, the citadel itself, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and also killed Parshandatha,
and Dalphon,
and Asatha,
and Paratha,
and Adalia,
and Vizatha,
and Parmasa,
and Arisai,
and Aradai,
and Vizatha,
the ten sons of Haman the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews.
But they laid no hands on the plunder.
That very day, the number of those killed in Susa, the citadel, was reported to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther,
"In Susa, the citadel, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men, and also the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your request? It shall be given you. And what further is your wish? It shall be fulfilled."
And Esther said,
"If it please the king, let the Jews who are in Susa be allowed tomorrow also to do according to this day's edict, and let the 10 sons of Haman be hanged on the gallows."
So the king commanded this to be done.
An issue was ordered in Susa,
and the 10 sons of Haman were hanged.
On the 14th day, the Jews in Susa gathered and killed over 300 men in Susa. But they laid no hand on the plunder.
The Jews and the rest of the king's provinces also gathered to defend their lives and got relief from their enemies. And they killed 75,000 of those who hated them.
But they laid no hand on the plunder. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar.
And the 14th day they rested and made that a day of feasting and gladness.
But the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th day and on the 14th and rested on the 15th day,
making that a day of feasting and gladness.
Therefore, the Jews of the villages who live in the rural towns hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day for gladness and feasting,
as a holiday, and a day on which they send gifts of food to one another.
And Mordecai recorded these things,
and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far,
obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar,
and also the 15th day of the same,
year by year, as the days in which the Jews got relief from their enemies.
For as the month had been turned from them from sorrow into gladness,
and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of
feasting and gladness.
So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written them.
For Haman the Agagite,
Boo!
The enemy of all the Jews, had plotted to destroy them and had cast lots in order to crush and to destroy them.
But when word of this reached the king, he gave orders in writing, and his evil plan that he had devised returned on his own head, and he and his sons were hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they call these days Purim, after the term Pur.
Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring, and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days.
And according to what was written, and at the time appointed each year, that these days should be kept and remembered throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should not be put into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants.
Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, gave full written authority, confirming the second letter about Purim.
Letters were sent to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, in words of peace and truth, that these days of Purim should be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them. And as they had obligated themselves and their offspring with regards to their fasting and their lamenting,
the command of Queen Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writing.
And King Ahasuerus imposed a tax upon the land and upon the coastlands of the sea.
And all the acts of his power
power and might and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai to which the king advanced him.
Are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia?
For Mordecai was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers.
For he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. No, praise God. Isn't God's word awesome? Let's give God's word a round of applause. Thanks so much. Again, my name is Jeff Mastin, and I'm one of the team members with Piercing Word. Our mission is to ignite passion for the Word of God in the heart of the church. We hope that we've done that for you today. But I wanted to share something with you first. In the same way that Esther had to give up her safety, give up her care, and lay it all on the line in her story, there was somebody also that put it all on the line for us. In the Bible, it's recorded, 1 and 2 Samuel, and then throughout the Gospels, 1 John, Corinthians, it says this: we must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered again. But God will not take away life. And he devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brothers at one time. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He who believes is not condemned, but the one that does not believe is condemned already. For he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, for he's not believed the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. But whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. For the love of Christ controls us. And because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled the world to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God, through Christ, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. For the time that is past, it suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, lawless idolatry, drinking parties. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is Lord. Repent and believe in the gospel. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart, one believes and is justified. But with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the good news, the gospel, Jesus Christ, word for word from Scripture. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And ask you, if you haven't gone all in, 100%, that you would do so. If you haven't given 100%, if you're still living partly for yourself and not 100% for Him who died for you, I'd ask you if you would. Would you give that up? Would you give yourself up? The word repent means that, you know, if we're going our own way, that we're going to stop, change our direction entirely, and go in the opposite direction. Stop from going for our way, what matters to us, and turn and go God's way and live 100% for God. If you believe that, I'd ask you to pray this prayer with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that while I was still a sinner, you loved me. And you sent your Son to die for me. I believe that your Son is the Christ, that He came and lived a perfect life for me, that He died a terrible and brutal death for my sin, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day and now sits at your right hand as the propitiation for my sin. I thank you for the free gift of eternal life through Christ. I confess my sin. I repent and I turn from my way. Help me to live a life where Jesus is my Lord in every step that I walk. I pray that you would surround me with other Christians who believe the same, and that I would live the rest of my life for you. Thank you again for this free gift. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd really encourage you to speak to one of the pastors, to any of our team members here. We would love to speak with you. But also, wanted to again say, our mission is to ignite passion for the Word of God in the heart of the church, to impact, but also so that you would memorize Scripture yourself. I would deeply encourage you to look at the sum of your age, to read it out loud to yourself, to read it out loud to yourself again, and then to commit to memorizing it. Or to memorizing it, if God is teaching you truth in a certain chapter, if your pastor is preaching on something that's really speaking to your heart, memorize it and see how much further God will teach you truth. I want to also share with you just a couple of ways that you can respond. The first is, you know, obviously to memorize Scripture, but you can also become a Piercing Word donor. We are a full-time nonprofit ministry that operates solely through the generosity of individual donors and partner churches. So I know there was a love offering earlier today, and we appreciate that. But if you wanted to partner with the ministry, You most certainly could do so. We have envelopes at our table. Also, we do have the CDs that I had mentioned regarding Sermon on the Mount, the musical. Also, we just did Passion, the musical, this past Easter, and we have pre-orders for those CDs. Also, we have our entire season of what we do for Scripture. We don't just do Esther, but we have our whole outline of what we do throughout the year. And you can reach out to us. You can refer us to an organization or church. We've done many breakfasts and brunches and things of that nature. But you can refer us to other organizations so that we can grow as well. Encourage you to come and talk to us. Thank you so much for having us. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day here. I'd like to invite the pastor to come back up. Thank you so much, Pastor. There's one other thing that I don't know if that was me or just you, but that was something shocking. I just wanted to say how grateful I am to be able to be here in a place where there's multiple churches. I mean, I love to see unity in the body of Christ. I mean, none of this makes sense without the church working strongly. And I just really appreciate that. Appreciate you. We love you. And I want to encourage you. Thank you.
Well, let's give Piercing Word another round of applause for them. I didn't see Pastor Jeff, so I came up. So, yeah, okay. That was pretty amazing, and I was very blessed by that. As I was sitting there as a participant with you, I was also just struck by the fact that as amazing as these folks were, this wasn't just a story. This was real people. There's a real Esther. There's a real Mordecai that we're going to meet in heaven one day. Mm-hmm. And there's a real God who did this story, who made this happen, and I just want to praise Him this morning. So I invite you to just pray with me as we close. Lord, we're so grateful for You, so grateful that You reached out to us in love when we have done nothing to deserve it. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made a way for us to be right with You. Lord, I thank You for the hope and the promise of eternal life. I thank You for this group and their ministry and the way they made this account come to life for us. I pray that You continue to bless each one of them, their other team members, their ministry as they proclaim Your word in this incredible way. Thank You, Lord, for being God. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm guessing the team will be around. If you have questions and want to interact with them, I'm sure they would enjoy that. Thank you for coming and have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
Yep. Yeah.